Well, as you look back, and then you remember that looking forward to the time when this issue arose again 10 years later and was decided by a unanimous court, much almost in the precise fashion that you have described the problem, that court said what you said in 1972 and what Justice Souris pretty much had said in 64. How do you account for what actually happened in 72? Was it as Black said in his very vitriolic expression about the Macedonian cry and all that stuff? Is that really what it was? Or what do you think it was that caused the result to be there, as it turned out?
Well, I really don't know. I'm not going to ascribe improper motives to any of my colleagues in any case. I'm inclined to think that the real answer lies in the fact that the whole concept of one man, one vote was a slow developing legal concept, and that it took some of us longer to realize the implications of that than others. And I think some of us grasped it earlier than others, I think certainly by 10 years after this, it was very commonly accepted, and everybody had learned to live with it. And I think they hadn't learned to live with it at this point, and they were still striving as they had for generations to come up with some way of saying, hey, the way we want to do this is okay because we got the votes. And it took some of us a lot longer, as I say, to realize that that just won't fly.
This was written, what you just read us, in May, and it was entered in the records of the Michigan Supreme Court in May of 1972.
Right.
And as I was trying to review this and get my mind straightened around so as to be able to ask you sensible questions, I took a look at a case that was filed in June, 1 month later, wherein Gene Black, in a dissent, and this is the case on registration. Do you remember that case? It was a challenge by, this is the dissent, it was a challenge by these people, the UAW CAP Council, NAACP, Michigan State AFL-CIO, Michigan Democratic Party. These were plaintiffs in a suit to invalidate the registration law of Michigan, which said that if you did not vote for 2 years, there would be certain events that would happen. The appropriate election clerk, if you were in a township, it would be the township clerk. If you were the city, it would be a city election commissioner, the city clerk. And this is a different one. Those people would send notice to you, and you would be obliged to, if you wanted to stay on the rolls, to sign your name on a card and drop it in the post office box. Or, you know, there was a procedure somewhat that was part of it. And the effect of what invalidation of that process would be to leave a lot of people on the election rolls that had not been voting regularly. There would be some question about whether those people had moved and that sort of thing, or died. And Black was saying that this was a naked attempt to utilize the power that the Democratic Party felt that it had on the Supreme Court to advance its political purposes. And he says, among other things, in his dissent on that election registration case, he says, who brought the suit? And he said, it is brought to review before an appellate court consisting of, and then he says, 6 of 7 justices who owe their judicial nominations and hence their respective tenures to that same party. 4 of these justices are bound to benefit directly and politically from the decision criticized here. The upcoming 1972, 74, and 76 Democratic nominations and endorsement to this court considered. In other words, look, the people that are sitting there are going to decide this case, one of whom was you, are contemplating whether or not they're going to be endorsed by the party that stands to benefit either later in 72, in 74, in 76. Goes on, he says, it is defended, this case is defended by an attorney general whose original appointment to that office was made by the writer of the instant majority opinion. Now he's talking about Kelly being appointed to the office of attorney general by John Swainson, who wrote the opinion. Now he goes on and he uses strident language, and what I've read here in part is italicized. Do you think that he saw the way it was, or was he just ranting here? You were in 1976 to suffer the consequences that he said, you know, a person would suffer if he did not go along in a case of this sort. In 76, as we well know now, the prophecy, if that's what this is, of Gene Black came to fruition. I just wonder how far you go in accepting his explanation, or if you have a different one for why the court divided the way it did in the case we were just talking about, the apportionment case, given the history, you know, 8 years earlier, somebody had pointed out pretty much the same things under the same circumstances that you did. And yet, in 72, the...
Well, excuse me for interrupting, Roch, but you understand that this case did not involve a question of representation. This question involved a question of voter eligibility.
Yeah, that's true.